Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
So the future of Team Sky, who we've talked about so much over the last decade or so, is in doubt after the broadcaster Sky announced it will withdraw back in at the end of 2019. The news was broken to some stunned riders and staff over dinner at their training camp in Mallorca on Tuesday night. Dave Brailsford was told last week by some Sky executives. They told a shocked Brailsford that Comcast's £30 billion takeover of Sky in September was a natural time to end the partnership. For more, we're joined by Sean Ingle, who's been writing about this in The Guardian. He is The Guardian senior sports writer. Sean, always good to have you on. Thanks a million.
No worries at all, Joe.
So the Comcast reason was given to Dave Brailsford last weekend. The obvious speculation straight away was wondering if all the various controversies surrounding this team have contributed in a very big way to Sky's decision. I don't know, is there any word on or off the record on that?
Sky, both publicly and off the record, are insisting that isn't the case. There was some suggestions a couple of years ago that Sky might end their relationship with Team Sky, maybe even last year, but because James Murdoch was such a big fan, and that kind of continued, and obviously Froome signed a new contract, and then Geraint Thomas did as well. So people thought, they're going to keep going. But I do think the Comcast deal, which came through in September, was a natural break. I mean, Sky invested an awful lot of money, somewhere between sort of £30-35 million a year. Mm. What more could you get out of a team than you've had over the last few years? And then, of course, there is that bad publicity. So it's probably a fairly easy decision for Comcast in the end.
So what does it mean for the future of Team Sky? They vowed to go on once they can get a sponsor.
I mean, it depends who you speak to. If you speak to people involved in Team Sky, they sort of say, look at what we've got. We've got many of the best riders in the world. There's Froome, there's Thomas. And then we have a brilliant young Colombian rider who is going to basically take over them both and do brilliantly. And so why wouldn't somebody want to take over the team? Mm. However, another way of looking at it is Froome's going to be 35 come May 2020. Mm. Thomas is going to be 34. Egan Bernal, the Colombian, is brilliant, but as a British sponsor or European sponsor, really going to throw that much money to have a team led by him? Mm. I doubt it. What I think will happen is they will try and get a sponsor in the next 3-4 months. And Brailsford has sort of hinted, and people are telling me off the record, that really by the time of the Tour de France, they really have to have someone, sponsor in place. Otherwise, it all goes up in the air. It wouldn't shock me if some riders and their agents start speaking to other teams early next year, maybe even sooner, because why wouldn't you? When there's this much uncertainty, why don't you at least sort of play the field and see what's out there?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me at all if the whole team goes its own separate ways, this time next year.
I suppose there's a few different aspects to this which would make any diehard Team Sky fans out there, I'm not sure we have many over in this part of the world, but would make them worry. Even if the architecture remains in place to a fairly high standard, despite the ages of Chris Froome and the rest, even if that is there, you wonder what sponsors might be put off and might see the brand as tainted, and is it the right brand to get into bed with? Although, even if that's bridgeable, they are the best funded team, as I understand it, by some distance on the tour. And so you're not just looking for a sponsor if they want to maintain standards, you're looking for someone to come in and continue the 30-40 million quid they're being given each year?
Absolutely. I mean, if you speak to people inside Sky, they basically say, we're a winning machine. It's not like, there may be sponsors perhaps in the Middle East that will come in and think, look at what Qatar, Abu Dhabi have done with, English football. Why wouldn't you want to have that, on your another winning machine like that? So they're hopeful in that aspect. But you're right. I mean, you look at what's happened in the last few years, look at, the whole Jiffy Bag scandal, you look at, what the Digital Culture and Media and Sports Select Committee said only in March. Mm. They said that, Team Sky's policies were inconsistent with their original aim of winning clean and maintaining the highest ethical standards within their sport. You've got Dr. Richard Freeman, of course, the former Team Sky's former doctor, facing a GMC hearing in February, you know, over the alleged delivery of testosterone to the National Velodrome in Manchester in 2011. So, you know, the bad news and the bad PR might not necessarily be going away in the future.
Yes, I would think you are constantly looking over your shoulder for a whistleblower or some scandal to break. Or who knows, even the laptop lost on holidays, very inconveniently for everybody all around, might surface, although I suspect that one may not happen. Like, look, we're a particularly cynical bunch over here, so I don't know if the brand is as affected as maybe we all feel, especially if the winning keeps on happening. But that's going to be very interesting. And I wonder, is Brailsford the kind of fella that might be poached by other teams? Would he be that much in demand? I'm sure Chris Froome could command a couple of million and move elsewhere maybe, but what about Brailsford's stock?
I mean, he wanted so much control, and he's had so much control for a decade. And of course, he had so much control of British cycling before that. It would be I'm not sure any team would, you know, come in and say, here you are, you know. And the other thing, of course, is Brailsford has made a big thing over marginal gains and whether you swallow that or not. What he's had, of course, is a terrific amount of money, as you mentioned earlier. It means he's been able to buy the best of everything. If he doesn't get that at another team, how does he do? You know, who knows? I think it's very interesting. But he you know, he has lots of contacts in the commercial world. You know, there was talk of James Murdoch joining Tesla a couple of months ago. If that happened, you know, might Tesla go in for Team Sky? Who knows? Might he, you know, go to a, you know, a Middle Eastern country and say, you know, give me 35 million, I'll bring you more glory? Quite possibly. So. I mean, it's very up in the air at the moment, but obviously his first priority is to keep the band together.
Yeah. So the legacy of Team Sky is an interesting point. I mean, are they a byword for success? Are they a byword for continuing the lies and the mistruths and the bending of the rules is an interesting point. So what, they were launched in 2010. The ambition was to win a Tour de France by 2015. They managed to do it in, 2012, working off memory. So like, it's just been absolutely extraordinary, the success that they have achieved. So I wonder, what is the legacy of Team Sky? What are Team Sky a byword for now amongst the British public at large?
Well, I mean, it really does depend on whether you wear red, white and blue spectacles or not. I mean, if you do, you say, well, look, this is a team that's won sixth of Tour de France in 7 years. You know, it won, you know, the Giro, it won the Vuelta, it won, you know, enormous number of stage races. It also, Team Sky and Sky itself would argue, helped fuel the boom in cycling among ordinary people in Britain and create heroes out of Bradley Wiggins and maybe to a less extent Chris Froome, but, you know, Grant Thomas as well. And I think those who are more sceptical will say, actually, what were your founding principles? It was to do everything to be whiter than white, to do things a lot differently. Yeah. Not to sort of go into this grey area, and whether you're even the biggest Team Sky fanboy will have to accept that if you go back to, you know, the original, you know, documents, the original statements by Brailsford when they launched in 2010 in Millbank in London, they haven't lived up to that. So again, it really does depend on where your starting point really. And every time I'm writing Team Sky, you know, I will get dozens of people, you know, saying I'm not being rah-rah enough. But, you know, that's just the way it is, I think. It all comes on from your starting point. It's like Brexit or it's like whatever else.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
I did that terribly unfair thing of asking you to speak for about 60 million people, which is tough. What about your opinion of them then?
I mean, I kind of think you should hold people to the, if you say you're going to uphold to the highest standards, I think you need to do it, and I don't think they've done that. I think there are serious questions to answer about the Jiffy bag. I think there are questions that are ongoing. Particularly, I mean, the testosterone thing. I mean, that hasn't gone away. You know, that was delivered to you know, the British centre where, you know, Team Sky and British cycling lived, and there's been no adequate explanation for why that happened. You know, I mean, you hear some stuff, you know, people float various theories about, but I mean, that's serious. I mean, if that was going on in Russia or whatever else, I think people would roll their eyes. And I think it would be very interesting to see whether we ever really get to the bottom of that. But that, I think, is the one thing that's probably ongoing at the moment.
Yeah. And my, again, working off memory, my latest understanding of that was that the testosterone had arrived and then the defence was it had arrived there by accident, but that the company behind the delivery had refused to comment. That was the latest I seem to remember, which all didn't boil down to very much.
Yeah, and there's I don't want to kind of go into, there are some various other theories you hear, which may or may not be true. So I think it'd be very interesting to see what happens when Dr. Freeman appears before the GMC, you know, in February. But of course, he insists he's done nothing wrong, and we should make that point that, you know, Team Sky, Emirates Cycling, insist, you know, they've committed no wrongdoing.
Yeah. You know, the committee's finding that you mentioned, where frankly they didn't really buy much of what was being said before the House, there's no legislative or judicial powers they have. You know, that was just a standalone finding, was it?
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, they have that sort of force to at least invite people into Parliament, and they're able to, you know, make recommendations. But no, you're right. They can't turn around and say, you know, X team or X player should be banned or whatever else.
Mm, okay. So end of an era, really. Team Sky, it was eventful, that's for sure. And they'll have the tour upcoming in 2019, and then we'll have to see what happens across 2020. Listen, Sean, thanks so much for giving us your time. Much appreciated. I'm sure people can and will read your piece on The Guardian about it. Thanks a million.
Thank you, Joe.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.